You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
Private jet services sucks. And screw you, Carolina Hurricanes. I give you a two-finger salute.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
All right, so, oh my gosh, where to even start? It's some historical stuff is happening today, and I worry about the precedent that it is establishing as well. House Democrats, the majority party now, although you still have Mitch McConnell who's running the Senate, they're adjourned until after the inauguration of Joe Biden. So they've had their articles of impeachment. We'll go over that because it's a number of attorneys, even some who I don't necessarily agree with ideologically, were a little concerned about the sloppiness of this first. And then secondly, also, when we spoke yesterday with Andy McCarthy, one of the bigger things that I don't think is being discussed often enough when we talk about this process of impeachment again, and this desire to use this as like some kind of tool of political vengeance, is that, you know, you have to have some due process here, meaning, you know, you need to kind of have a hearing, basically have your trial on it. And none of that is being observed. It's just being just shoved through. There you go. So that's a little bit concerning, a little concerning. And we're going to get into all of that, but that's the latest with it. Now, as I understand it, and I was talking to Kane about this before we came on air, and I've been looking up on some of the Senate rules and et cetera, et cetera. But the Senate is recessed. So the Senate's, they're not there in Washington, D.C. That may actually change at some point depending on what happens in the House, because Nancy Pelosi and Democrats are saying time is of the essence. It's incredibly important for them to push through this impeachment. But the impeachment isn't done with just the House. The impeachment, I mean, that process then goes to the Senate. They have to send over a notice to the Senate, and then that's what kickstarts the whole thing. And so this, they can't do that because the Senate isn't in Washington, D.C. So I know that they would have to actually change a couple of things for the Senate to even come back to Washington, D.C., and then for this process to continue. And I just can't imagine them waiting until after. This is why that whole, all the focus on what Mitch McConnell is going to do is, this is why this was all the rage last night. And if you are subscribed to my newsletter, Chapter and Verse, which you can access by going to danalash.com, it's also at the bottom of all our YouTube videos. But one of this, and this was something that came out last night, and I'm just going to tell you how it is reported, because Mitch McConnell himself hasn't actually said anything publicly. So we don't really know where his thinking is on this. But the headline last night was, Mitch McConnell believes Trump committed impeachable offenses once him purged, because Liz Cheney came out and said she was voting for impeachment. One of the stories that went around last night was that McConnell was reportedly pleased that this was moving ahead in the House. And some are saying that this signifies what his position is, which then makes some people, and I'm just throwing this out here, I'm just speculating right now, some might think that if this is Mitch McConnell's position and it goes through the House this week, McConnell then, who is still at least, you know, for the next, 7 days now, controlling the floor or controlling the Senate, at least the calendar and rules and that, could have everyone come back, change some parliamentary rules, have people come back, have Senate readjourn rejoin, and then they could start the process in the Senate. But then what happens at the changeover there's like a million questions. This is not an easy conversation to have, and especially not just fall into the weeds with it. So that's just awkward. And honestly, like a week ago, people didn't think that this, or even several days ago, I don't think people thought that this could happen. So just the lay of the land with where we are. I sent out the newsletter last night, these ununited states of America. Democrats plan to celebrate America United with impeachment, deplatforming, and cancel culture. Now, to some people, it looks like the Republican Party is falling apart. I don't necessarily, I rephrase that. I don't think that, and I know some do, I don't think that the Republican Party is falling apart. I think that the big tent that was built is falling apart. Because the Republican Party, all the same cats, are just finding their old spots. That's all this is. This is the Republican Party. There's like two views of it. Some think that, you know, we have this big tent and it's great because you have all these different people that are united in the mission of limited government. But then there are other people out there who are Republicans that view the developments of yesterday and today now as the party is healing and returning to this like pre-Trump normalcy. And they have always regarded the big tent as nothing more than a circus tent. Some of the people in the Republican Party have looked down their noses at grassroots conservatives just as much as the left has, because they are impeding their ability, whether it's to shore up things for special interests or for their own personal agendas or whatever. So, I mean, there's like kind of two views of it. And this with Mitch McConnell, Mitch McConnell is going to hold his cards to his chest and he's not going to let anybody know what he's going to do until the moment he decides to do it. Now, I'm also a little bit. I was speculating about this last night. Because Mitch McConnell, going back into a entirely Democrat-controlled government, is going to be Republicans and conservatives' best hope of defeating some of the bad stuff that is going to come through. Whether it's gun control, whether it's sky-high taxes, Mitch McConnell has all of the power in the world right now. Because he also has the ear of a lot of these, of some of the more moderate Democrats. And the other thing, while Nancy Pelosi rants and raves, Mitch McConnell doesn't really rant and rave. And Mitch McConnell does have the respect of a lot of people, even Democrats in Washington. And he's been a good asset to the president, but again, it's very Machiavellian. So I know that people are going to be raging against Mitch McConnell. I don't know what he thinks just quite yet. He'll make public, like I said, when he does what he does, that's when he'll make it public. And he's not going to make it public until it is most advantageous to his position. Now, I also don't think Mitch McConnell necessarily is a total ideologue. I think he's more practical in the vein that Trump is. He is really good with parliamentary procedure and navigating just the stormy seas, as it were, of the Senate. And his goal is to just advance Republican agenda. Now, as it concerns Liz Cheney is angling. She's trying to position herself to oust Kevin McCarthy. This is totally, totally transparent. She's positioned. I don't dislike Liz Cheney, but I'm not like a fan. Again, I'm just, the people are politicians, right? But and I know people are mad at Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney has been positioning herself for some Republican seniority and for this battle for House influence for some time. I think pretty much since she got into office. So she is positioning herself as a not just a senior member of the GOP, but she's looking to challenge Kevin McCarthy for influence in the House. And maybe one day I think she would like to be House Speaker. And I don't know if I believe her ambitions stop there or not. So That's where her motivation is. Now, as it relates to the high crimes and misdemeanors, because, you know, there's three things that you can go after the president for when you're impeaching the president of the United States. I mean, you have to, and that's kind of what they're doing. They're looking at high crimes and misdemeanors. Although I don't know if his remarks Wednesday could be would meet that legal definition. And that's kind of the big question. And that's one of the things that Jonathan Turley has been warning people about, because he's looking at, are we going to start moving in a position where we are redefining incitement and what incitement is? Because there's nothing else that really that you could, I mean, high crimes and misdemeanors is pretty much it. And when you look at his remarks, if he would have told people, if he would have said anything like Maxine Waters said in the context of being there in the Capitol and there was a big rally, then I think it would have been easier for people to probably go after him. But he did couch his remarks with, you know, be peaceful, be civil, etc. So that's why people are really getting hung up. That's why Andy McCarthy said yesterday on the program that it's not really anything that you can get him criminally, like a criminal charge on. It doesn't, I don't know any attorney, except for some super partisan ones, that think that, it actually meets that. Now, you can dislike what someone says. And this is what a lot of people on the left don't seem to grasp. You can dislike what someone says or how they say it. That does not meet the legal, that doesn't fulfill the legal requirement for a charge on incitement. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. Privately owned, family company, they began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. And Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike. Never copying weapons, everything they do is always innovative. SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned into this program and Kel-Tec's social channels for several new Kel-Tec weapons that are coming. All true to Kel-Tec's commitment to game-changing innovation and performance. I'm excited to see what they've got next. While Kel-Tec is at full production, demand is higher than ever, and as a result, some of their firearms might be a little difficult to find, but they are working so hard to fulfill every distributor order as quickly as possible. All innovative Kel-Tec firearms are proudly and quality made right here in America, in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. Check them out at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Bruce Willis, according to Page Six, was asked to leave a store for refusing to wear a mask. Because everyone is a female copulatory organ nowadays, this is what our headlines are. Bruce Willis was asked to leave a Los Angeles Rite Aid on Monday because he refused to wear a mask. The spy, some like busybody, no-life Karen, says that people inside the store were upset that the 65-year-old wasn't wearing a mask despite having a bandana around his neck, which he could have pulled up. You're wearing a mask. So does your mask not work? Stupid mom. They said that they photographed him at the store without it. And he walked away. He didn't make his purchase. He didn't make a scene. He just was like, you know, walked away. And I can't believe that they like, this was this much. This is how much money. This is so crazy. This is so insane. So good for him. And what the hell is wrong with you that you got to like spy on people at a Rite Aid? Use your time for charity. Gosh dang it. Miserable people. I wouldn't want to visit us if I were aliens either. I would hate us. Oh my gosh. I hate us now. Let's see here. Oh, this. Okay. This Chicago area man was arrested because he F-A-F-O. He was allegedly threatening violence at the inauguration. I think you get this at almost every inauguration. This guy was from Illinois, but his name is kind of Italian. So, you know, Capriati. Just saying, you know. He was charged with transmitting a threat in interstate commerce, according to a charge filed in federal court. Also, let's see here. California, LA County is telling residents that you need to probably wear your masks in your own home. In fact, health officials are telling all essential workers to wear masks inside their own home to prevent spreading within their household. Literally wearing a mask all the time in your own home. That's what they're telling people to do. Just come on. But masks work. Why haven't they worked? One of the individuals who was arrested in connection with the Capitol riot, a man named Christopher Stanton, Georgia, was reportedly, he committed suicide. I know, more stuff is coming out about this. We have all the latest with the impeachment, tech, and cancel culture. Don't go anywhere. I saw this timeline of this guy. Let me share this with you. And I've seen this from a couple of people at this point. This guy named Dawson Buchanan. I originally saw this because this guy, Mark Futterman, had tweeted, a very talented friend of mine who interned with a GOP leader and at 20 was one of the highest ranked staffers in the Trump campaign, was just fired from his new job when the client found that he worked for Trump. He now cannot afford rent. still think cancel culture isn't that serious. He wasn't part of the Capitol riots, nor did he support or defend them, nor was he outspoken with his new company about politics. The client was an NHL team. They found his LinkedIn and they threatened to cancel their contract with his company if they didn't remove him. And so they did. And so this guy, Dawson Buchanan, he tweeted this last night. He said, a couple of hours ago, he retweeted that Futterman tweet. And he goes, after identifying myself as the subject head, it's called Private Jet Services at @fly_PJS. He said, Private Jet Services reached out to me threatening to take legal action and publicly defame me if I didn't delete the tweet. I was intimidated and nervous, so I immediately deleted it. But after thinking about it and discussing my rights of free speech, he says, I'm not going to be bullied into silence. I'm going to raise my voice louder. He says, in early January, Private Flight Services hired me to be a concierge for a contract they had with the NHL team Canes, right? Carolina Hurricanes. That's who they're on Twitter. For the Carolina Hurricanes. And he says, having worked with PJS, which is the Private Jet Services, as an operations associate for the Trump campaign headquarters, I eagerly accepted the position, excited to join a company I had developed a personal relationship with. He says, after receiving a laptop, establishing work email, and even purchasing additional clothes, I prepared to travel to Raleigh, North Carolina today for training. This was yesterday. He goes, yesterday evening, which was Monday evening, around 7 p.m., Private Jet Services called me and fired me without explanation. He says, I was devastated. I had gone from being employed to unemployed in a matter of seconds, and I hadn't done anything wrong. He says he called the owner of PJS, asked for any explanation, and he told me very bluntly, the NHL found out that I worked for the Trump campaign and threatened to cancel the contract with Private Jet Services unless they fired me. This is the Carolina Hurricanes. Instead of standing up for me, instead of explaining to the NHL that I, as a person, am not solely defined by my previous work on the Trump campaign, they fired me. He says, I was upset and disappointed, but I initially didn't blame them for this decision. I just wish they had stood up for me, but they didn't. He says, I didn't have any animosity towards Private Jet Services until they tried to bully me into silence. So, Private Jet Services sucks. And screw you, Carolina Hurricanes. I give you a two-finger salute. So, if you don't think cancel culture is real, it is. They're actually now actively going in. Anyway, because the left cannot separate a person from a political issue. They view them as being one and the same. That's what allows them to strip humanity from people and justify their absolutely barbaric behavior and treatment of others. Because if they think that someone is the issue, they don't see that individual is a person anymore. They hate the issue. They hate the person. They're one and the same. How sad is that? Look, I'll be real with you. Steve, can I out you real quick?
Yes.
You and I don't agree on everything, right?
No.
Do you want to tell people what you did on November? I'm not shaming you. That sounded like it.
No?
I swear to you, I'm not.
Let's just say
that Steve did not fill out his ballot like Dana would have filled out her ballot. Let's just say
that's fair to say.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want nobody hating on Steve. I'll get mad if people hate on Steve.
Okay.
Cuz we aren't I cannot stand that hive mind crap. I can't stand it. But I don't look at Steve like, oh my gosh, he didn't fill out his ballot the way I did. He must be a horrible person. And then immediately have like all this animosity. I mean, what's the point of that, right? I mean, I don't get it. And also, can I say this too as an aside? Some of the sketchiest people, there's sketchy people on the left, but I met some of the sketchiest people on the right too. Let's just lay that down. I could name you names and talk about some stuff, but I'll save that for the tell-all. That people will tempt me to write. But that being said, like Steve, some people, and I've actually had people say this to me because they've asked me before, so does everyone you work with think like you? I actually don't know. I don't know what Rachel, I get an idea like maybe what Rachel thinks from the conversations we have. Kane tells everybody where he is. So, I mean, I don't question Kane. And I never really actually thought that it was something I cared enough about. Do what?
I do call out stupid people on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah.
But people are stupid on both sides anyway, so I just call them out.
Everyone's stupid, Steve. Yep. So your sweet young little heart, you're going to learn that here real soon. You're going to, when you get over age 35, you're going to just get as cynical and cranky as the rest of us. I can't wait for that. Cranky fun uncle. But I've had people ask me before, like, does that bother you if not everyone thinks like you do? What do you mean you don't ask people how you think? Like, you work in conservative politics? Like, are you afraid that like somebody would say something? I'm like, well, first off, I don't do anything off air that I would ever like freak out about becoming public. Number one, everybody kind of knows where I am. What you see and what you hear is what you get off air. And number two, I just don't operate like that. I never have, because I'm not a intellectually stunted, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand the people who just cannot get past certain issues. Nobody's going to agree on everything. And this idea that you're this poor dude, like during a flipping pandemic, and he gets fired because he worked for the Trump campaign. So? And? He wasn't even there Wednesday. He apparently was on Twitter actually condemning it even before all this happened. Oh, but the NHL, the Carolina Hurricanes. Oh, no. Private jet services. That's not even, you know, I know we got to get going, but I have one more. Hold up. Because I saw this last night. I know. I might have to come back for this. So I was looking. There was it was an elementary school basketball league. And one of the coaches had actually tweeted to not, if you're a parent and you voted for Trump, don't bring your kids. Do not bring your kids to this basketball camp. I said, we don't want you. And these were like fifth grade girls. I'll talk about this. I'm looking for it now on my timeline. That just made me really, really sad that happened. Oh, I think they deleted it, but I still have it. I still have the screenshot. And they deleted it, so I hope maybe they rethought it, because I'm like, look, you can dislike who the parents vote for. Don't take it out on the kids. Please tell me we are not at the point where we're taking this adult crap out on kids. Please tell me that. So I wasn't mean to him. I'm just like, I hope you reconsider. Until I started talking about home title lock, I had no idea how easy the crime of home title theft actually is and how easily it can ruin you financially. The legal titles to everyone's homes are digitized. They're kept on government and business servers and in the cloud where they can be hacked. And a cyber thief can find your home's title and can forge your signature on a quitclaim deed stating that you sold your home to them. Done. And then they can take out loans against your home until all of your equity is gone and you're left with nothing but the debt. You won't even know until the collection calls start pouring in. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock protects you. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title, and the instant they detect tampering, they help shut it down cold. Visit HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you could potentially be a victim. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, I would imagine that Jacoby Smart's defense here was, I thought this was America. A man was arrested in Pensacola, Florida, after he got upset when he was told, no, sir, you cannot film the dancer at the gentleman's club. And then he proceeded to attack the club's male employees, and he struck a woman across the face. Jacoby Smart, 36, of Louder Hill, was arrested Sunday, charged with battery with intent to cause bodily harm and aggravated battery causing bodily harm or disability. He was booked into the Escambia County Jail on $16,000 bond. And according to the arrest report, it's 12:40 in the morning on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, and he was at Escape's Gentleman's Club. And he went into a VIP room with one of the dancers, and he was then told that he could not record a dancer when he tried to on the private stage. And then they got a big old brawl. So that's, I love the headline on this, because just listen. A Florida middle school teacher was arrested after being found asleep in a car with meth on a school night. Out of all the nights, it was a school night in Polk County. Sheriff, 40-year-old Robin Ramos. Drug charges, 1 a.m. She got in trouble, obviously.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.